Transcendental book distribution to Jai, transcendental persona distribution to Jai, Vyatmadana to Jai, Sri Haranam Sankatam to Jai, Eskan Pravichai, Vipitipandrachai, Sri Prabhupada to Jai. Sri Sri Radhashama Sindha to Jai, Sri Krishna Balaram to Jai, Sri Sri Gaurinitan to Jai, All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. Glories of glories to Sri Sri Granth Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Creation, Chapter 7, The Son of Drona Punished. The assigned verse is text 6. Coincidentally, on the screen. Okay. Anatopasanam sakshad.
Anatopasanam sakshad.
Bhakti yoga mataksaja.
Bhakti yoga.
Kasya sanato vidvams chakre sattvata samhitam anatopasanam sakshan bhakti yoga madhoksaja. Lokasya Sanato Vidvams Chakre Sattvata Samhitam Anatopasanam Sakshad Bhakti Yoga Daksaje Lokasya Sanato Vidvams Chakre Sattvata Sattvata Samhitam
Chakre Sattvata Samhitam Anarto Vasam Sakshat
Anarto Vasam Sakshat
Bhakti Yogam Madhokshade
Bhakti Yogam Madhokshade At home, you can chant. Let's go through the word for words. There are many intriguing phrases here. Anatta. Things which are superfluous.
Things which are superfluous.
Upasanam.
Upasanam.
Mitigation.
Mitigation.
Sakshat.
Directly.
Bhakti yoga.
Bhakti yoga.
The linking process of devotional service.
adhoksaje, unto the transcendence. This is capital T, transcendence, indicating a person who is. Lokasya, of the general mass of men. Ajanata, those who are unaware of. Vidvang, the supremely learned. Chakra, compiled. Sattata, sattata, in relation with the supreme truth. Okay. And Samhitam, Vedic literature. Before we read the translation, I point out some differences in the word for word and the translation. And one is the word sattva, in the word for words, it's in relation with the supreme truth. Every preposition has its meaning. So most of you understand the difference between talking with someone and talking to someone. Right? And talking to someone may be giving them a talking to. I mean, just your side. And talking with someone is two people together hearing each other out or coming to higher understanding, indicating a relationship. But let's look at the translation by the Bangas Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotion and service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadev compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the supreme truth. Please repeat. And try to come up with what your mind is questioning in the complexity of this verse. The material miseries, as opposed to transcendental miseries or spiritual miseries, there are. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotion and service. But the mass of people do not know this. And therefore, when learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the supreme truth. So we as conditioned souls, or those who are unaware of certain precepts, that we have relation to the supreme truth. In other words, we're in opposition. We're in opposition. And when we reach a higher understanding, then we have a relationship or a relation with the supreme truth. We embrace it. It becomes our truth. So therefore, it's a sharing. Purport by the Bhagavad Gita Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead. This statement suggests the complete unit of the personality of Godhead. It includes his parts and parcels also. He saw, therefore, his different energies, namely the internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. He also saw his different plenary portions and parts of the plenary portions, namely his different incarnations also, and he specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls who are bewildered by the external energy. And at last, he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely, the process of devotion and service. It is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once the mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of the material existence. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for a development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth. Those last two sentences definitely bear repetition, so if you'll bear with me. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anato Vasanam Sakshat, Bhakti Yoga Manoksade, Lakasya Janato Vidyavamas, Chakre Satvavata Samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotion and service. But the mass of people do not know this. And therefore, the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth, or relation with the Supreme Truth, depending upon your relation. So, in the technicality of the language, there are many words here that may be assumed to be known to you, and may be assumed to be known. For example, superfluous. So it's a Latin origin word. The super means on the surface, above. It can mean above, as opposed to superfluous. Her bliss is the flow of life is unnecessary. The flow flows without anything above it. That's the point. The flow of life, the flow of one's existence, the flow of one's spiritual, eternal being has really decorated with this dead body concept. In other words, the material misery. And of course, we can turn to scripture to note that there are the threefold miseries. But these threefold miseries are a breakdown of one mental condition that keeps the soul in the threefold miseries, and that is miserliness, a greed to enjoy the material world and collect and count. Because there's a beautiful poem in the Padjavali about collecting, counting, like a miser, the recitation of the holy name. That's a different category. So in that case, the person is pretending to be a miser by collecting the recitation of the name, counting them, right? And enjoying the counting process. And this is what a miser does. You know, the typical image of a miser is someone who has amassed a lot of coins, and they're all stacked up, and he keeps counting them over and over again. He doesn't use them. He doesn't know how to use them. He just knows what many people know is that the goal of life is acquisition of wealth, because with wealth you can fulfill your desire. But when the desire is simply to accumulate wealth, you're lost. And this is a miserable condition in the material world. It's imposed by one's mind and body because you wear it out with useless activity. It's imposed by natural phenomena, the demigods, right? Because the designation or the way the material world is orchestrated under the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to test one's patience and strength of mind. Because, you know, the weather changes. You know, it's too hot, and it goes too hot. And in Florida, it can be too hot and too cold in the same hour. Right? Some places, it's always cold. Other places, it's always too hot. Right? So it's too wet yesterday. It's too dry now. I don't know. It's too much, everything too much. Right? And if one identifies with this extreme condition, then they suffer. But without that identification, in other words, and it's, oh, that's my weather, and my town, and my body is feeling my misery. Okay, so you're not your body, that starts. Okay, you check that one off. It's not your country. The weather isn't under your control. You have no adjustment, except that if you're calm, you may notice this. I have to tell you a beautiful story, one a devotee anecdote. But if you're calm, this is how the sages have been, calm and meditative on the Supreme, the source of all conditions, then you become equal poise in happiness and distress, heat and cold. Because you identify, oh, the body is feeling it. And the mind has an option to meditate on the condition or meditate on the source condition. And what the condition is designed to do is it's designed to awaken you to the fact that this place isn't where you belong. You're not going to be comfortable here, right? No matter how comfortable you are, you can't stay in bed that long. I mean, some of you are probably still in bed listening to class because it's nice there, it's nice, warm, cozy, or you're in a room and you've made it so cold that it feels like winter, and it's so you're under your blankets and very warm and cozy. But you ultimately have to get up and do something. And what will you do? And why will you do it? Because I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. That's what I would say. Yeah, no, because Krishna wills activity. Because the devotee is given by the predecessor spiritual masters that he's bold and daring. All right? Bold and daring means get up and do something. At least open the window and find out really what's going on. And well, I check. I know what temperature it is outside and what the humidity level is, a dew point. I'm completely on it. Right? Oh, by the way, if you have a comment, a question, or criticism, please text me directly, or you can email me if you want to really drag it out long. The text number 336 327 1998. Happy to hear your criticism and praise. You can just send it off to someone else. Okay, so because I prefer to be reminded of misery, innocence, or whatever. I know I'm a miser. I ended up with this miserly body with my miserly mentality because I'm supposed to be miserable in the material world. But with a shift of identity, it's called Krishna consciousness. You may have heard of it. The synonyms for Krishna consciousness are bhakti yoga. If you doubt that, you can look through the Bhagavad Gita. Mine's completely marked. It's so many marks everywhere. I'm going to read a couple to you. But the process of devotional service is what is being described here. This is, it's again, devotional service is the object in the prepositional phrase of devotional service. Process of, in the process. And this process is in the linking process. Yoga is a linking process. And that linking process is shared satisfaction. I'm satisfied with the service that I perform. Krishna becomes satisfied. He bestows his mercy upon me. And I can skip studying, even though I should study. I mean, Prabhupada assigned the devotees to read 2 hours a day. You know, he wants you to study. But that's as a service, because Krishna is sending messages to you. In every exchange with every person in your own isolation, he's still sending messages, right? Threefold miseries include other beings. These other beings who come to you and impose their misery upon you, or just make you feel miserable, they're in need. Here's an opportunity to what we call preach, which means share insight, open doors, allow people broader understanding. The definition, all the definitions that Srila Prabhupada gave are totally accurate. So he said, intelligence means broad-minded. Broad-minded. Of course, the materialists think broad-minded means looking at broads. Yeah? That's broad-minded. Yeah. Broad-minded is open your perspective, inclusive of all of creation, not just broads. Right? Yeah. Broadway, yeah, right in there. It's got straightest street, it goes diagonally across New York, diagonally, right? With the biggest, most wonderful Maya in the world. That's Broadway. And it's meant to be used in Krishna service. Broadway is meant to be used in Krishna service. And you also meant to be, you're designed to be servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from an eternal identity. It's called, by Srila Prabhupada, constitutional position. The constitutional position is eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. When one embraces emotionally, because you can embrace it physically, that's just doing service, and performing or executing or rendering the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service, that I'm linked with Krishna, recognition that these physical acts or intellectual acts are the stepping stones by which I'm immediately connected with the path of perfection. I'm actually reached the goal by being on the path. And why? Because Krishna's running full speed and he can beat anyone running. He's able to provide you with immediate satisfaction if your mentality is correct. If your identification with devotional service isn't work, or drudgery, or it's service, Prabhu, service, right? You're working according to your natural propensity. Your natural propensity is to love. That's a natural propensity, to love. To love what you're doing, why? Well, we use a really simple example. A mother loves to cook if the kids are hungry. The mother loves to clean and loves to correct. She loves to do everything because she's in a loving relationship with the object of her affection, her children. And the children, despite being chastised, forced, and eat against their will, or not being allowed to eat against their will, still, they maintain this loving relationship with another. And with that, there is respect. And within that is also chastity. There's a perfect example of every man should think of every woman as a mother. So the opposite side of this description is that every woman should think of every man as her child. And within that, there's affection, naturally. And within that, there's respect, naturally. And within that, there's obedience, naturally. Naturally. One is obedient to a good parent, and one is obedient to the responsibility of the needs of the children. It's completely natural. You can't get away from it. Be you a father, or a mother, or a child. You can't get away from it. It's so nurturing. You know, this word nature relates with the nurture. It nurtures the soul. And in Sanskrit, the word bhava is used. It means the material phenomenon, material activity. It has a very broad base, like this word loka. Lokasya means the people in general, but loka also means a planet. It means a country. It means a cultural designation. Right? It's a broad understanding of the language. So we've covered superfluous a little bit. Superfluous. There's a flow of existence, and when one embraces the superfluous aspect, then they're miserable. They're miserable. And then we've also gone back to misery, because misery and miser, they're intimately related. You know? Hoarding, keeping, being the sole controller and the sole enjoyer. Right? It has nothing to do with the soul. When one is isolated, thinking one, me, that. Right? It's never one, me, that. It's always in relationship with others. Opportunity to give and opportunity to learn. That's what you receive. Learn. You can learn from anyone, a bug. Right? So I was in the temple and I was really viciously going after the bugs. Very vicious. And they were everywhere. And so I was cleaning vigorously, but still I would go in the middle of the night, turn the light on, there were bugs, and I had a habit of just stomping at them because they shouldn't be there. The temple kitchen should be so clean and no bugs. Of course, in Florida, they fly in. But, you know, in other places, they're housed there. They're provided. You give them water, you give them food, you give them a nice cozy corner, right? So I removed all the cozy corners and I removed all the food and dried it up really good. But still, they were still intent. Never committed a sin. So and they were migrating into the ashram, which was next door. I was living in the ashram. So one morning, there was a different movement, but a bump. So I stamped on the bump. I stamped for the bump. But it disappeared. It wasn't a bump. Actually, as I saw the movement, I knew this is not a bump. It's an arachnid. It's a spider. And I don't mind. Spiders deal with bugs. It's good. I don't have any issue with spiders, except maybe the black widows under the shelf, but they're probably gone now because they've been cleaning so vigorously. So the spider disappeared. Where'd he go? He's on my foot. So smart. What a strategy, right? I'm going to kill him, not thinking he was a cockroach, but he embraces my foot. And I thought, oh, he's so smart. I learned from the spiders. This is such good strategy. But here's a brahminical and transcendental perspective. Krishna, as everyone knows, is the fearful face of death, like the cat's mouth, right? For everyone, but for devotees, you know, even if he's going to stamp on you, he embraces the hold on. It's okay. Now I'm going to tell you the anecdote about being equipoised in happiness and distress and heat and cold. And one devotee I know, and he was visiting here some months ago. He has family in the community like everybody else. So he was the cook when Mumbai was called Bombay, right, at the first temple. And there was very few devotees there. And in the summer in Mumbai, or Bombay at the time, it's extremely hot. And he cooked the Raj Bhog often. So he's over the fire for 2 hours, something like that. And it's searing hot, and everyone's gone for shade or water or something. And he, what to do? And he walked out, and it's still like sort of semi-construction area. They were cooking it in like a tent. And he came out and there was a seminar or other. He said, I'm so hot and miserable, you know? Material mentality, even though he just performed the process of devotional service. He said there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada, a small, you know, probably cut out of a magazine or something, and in a frame, and there was also a little yak-tail fan, little fan. I think it was a fan. I mean, I think it was a chamara. And he got inspired. He picked up the chamara and he started fanning the picture. And as he was fanning the picture, you think it's effort? His body cooled down. He didn't feel inconvenienced by the heat. This is his personal report to me. I said, well, that's such a thrilling story. It's so thrilling how Krishna can reciprocate with you. You've made such a big physical and intellectual and mental. When you work in the kitchen, you have to know the science of how the food combines, because you're not supposed to smell it even. You have to know this. And you know, no matter what the weather is, you know, in the Mumbai, in the tent, there's no AC. There, really have to perform tapas. It's a form of austerity, penance. And so it takes its toll on your body and mind. But when he identifies with the purpose of the spiritual master's presence and the process of pleasing the spiritual master, who is in turn pleasing his spiritual master all the way to Krishna, and then he enacts an additional effort, and he becomes peaceful, calm. Therefore, his physical thermostat, because that's how the yogis do it. Just like your car has a thermostat, it gets a little too high, it pumps more coolant. So similarly, people who are not well, I mean, they have physical problems, they have a problem with their thermostat. And they really feel the heat in summer, and they really feel the cold in winter. I don't even feel the heat at all. But when it's cold, I feel that. I just bundle up like anything. I want to be in the sunshine all the time. But summer, I just stay in the shade. It's okay, it doesn't matter. Lots of, as long as I can breathe. Right? I have an issue with the mask because I feel like I'm suffocating. So, anyway, there's another nice story that a devotee told me just this last week. How Krishna reciprocates with anyone. Now, there's no need of intellectual adjustment or understanding in order for Krishna to reciprocate. So this person was asked to go somewhere, work with the corporate body that sets up tents, and they also sell tents sometimes to other temples. So he was sent to set up a big, big tent in Atlanta. And those of you who've been to Atlanta Temple know, the Atlanta Temple, three houses. And they were having a festival, but there was competition with another city, so they wanted this tent set up. And they assured the person who went to set up the tent that there would be sufficient manpower, but two people who weren't particularly capable showed up, but somehow managed to set the entire big tent, which is better than half the size of this room. Like two-thirds the size of this room, if you can imagine. That's that thing. And it's on the ground and needs to be stood up. Right? So, again, Krishna inspired him, and he looked across the street. Those of you who know Atlanta know there's a park across the street, and he saw there were some friends playing soccer, about 10, 12 men. Right? So he just boldly went over and said, well, you know, I'm trying to set this tent up, and I need people to lift it. Right? It'll only take a few minutes, and it's actually fun to do it. Right? He advertised. Right? So they said, we're just about to play. Right? Just 10 minutes. So they said, okay. And they came across the street, and they lifted the tent up, and they were like, wow, this is cool. And it was up, and they tied it, and it was done. 2 years passed. The same man went to Atlanta and went to a Sunday feast 2 years ago. He went to a Sunday feast, and someone at the Sunday feast in the crowd came over to him and said, I know you from somewhere. I recognize you. Who are you? And he said, I don't know. I move around all the time, he said, the devotee. He said, do you know anything about tents? And it was one of those men that was playing soccer. across the street, he became an attendee of the temple program. Why? Ask yourself, why? Krishna reciprocated with him. Such an amazing, I just heard this story, amazing. If you engage anyone, qualified, disqualified, unqualified, overqualified, they qualify. In the spiritual world, they qualify despite, if you engage them in the direct connection, and that's a big service. Because if you be very patient with new people who don't know what they're doing, you know, they come. Show them Krishna consciousness with your heart. Right? Open your heart to them. Allow them to have their heart open. And Krishna gets ready. He's already in there. He's trying to let it. Right? And that connection. So another anecdote. Quick anecdote. A head pujari in another temple had some responsibility to make sure everything was in place after the Sunday feast. And the biggest donor in the community, he happened to be MD. Also, he has family in the community. And he was like millionaire, right? Millionaire doctor. So he's standing there, and he asked, Krishna inspired him. He asked the head pujari at the time, is there anything I can do? Right? So the pujari said, well, there's a mop, and there's a bucket, and no one talked to him like that before. You know, he's a big donor, everyone knows he's a big man in the community, right? Like Ambarish comes in, and you say, oh, there's a mop, and there's a mop. But you know, ask Ambarish some of his early experiences in Krishna consciousness. He was treated just like everyone else. Right? So anyway, this older fellow, a senior man, he took up the map and he started mapping the floor. And after he finished, he felt great about it somehow. And then he asked, can I do this every week? And years later, he's an initiated devotee and still supporting the temple. This is how it starts. Right? You can look at, well, a nice purport to look at that shows the process. You have to read into it. You know? I call it intuitive reading. Is the last purport in chapter 8. It's not by these charity, it's not by austerity, it's not by knowledge, it's not by performing sacrifices, no. It's simply by the linking process of devotional service. Vedasi, Yagasi, Tapasi, Taiva. You know this one? Everyone knows this one. Okay, so now I'm going to read a couple more passages and open to our criticism, correction. And I think you'll like this one. I happened across this the other day. I marked the page. Wherever it is. Hope I didn't. Leave my. Where is it? Okay. While I'm scrambling for that, I'll just read this one. Related to, directly to the purport. This is chapter 6, text 8. Jnana vijnana tuttama tatastha vijitendriya yukta uchate yogi samala shashna kanchana. It's not the verse, but the purport. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, as the same. This is Krishna speaking, and he's not referring to transcendence with a capital T in this case. Opening line of the purport. Book knowledge without realization of the supreme truth is useless. This is also stated as follows from the Nectar of Devotion. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord, the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.3.4. Because it's well known. In fact, I think the other mark I had was the very same verse as that. So, as Krishna works it, you know, Krishna works it. I haven't been able to attend the class. I haven't been able to monitor it online because I'm so dependent on reading lips that, you know, even I had exchanges at the supermarket, people were wearing masks, I just guess what they're saying and nod agreement and figure it out. This morning someone was chastising me and I thought, yes, It is due. It is due. But whatever. Fine. So, where is that? Where was that? Oh, well, it must be a lie. That's what the Irish say. If you forget what you're going to say, it must be a lie. So I don't want to lie to you. Here it is. How Krishna works it. The last time I gave the class, it was specifically the address topic in the proof work was specifically that by knowledge one cannot apprehend the truth, spiritual truth. It is by only the mercy, it's written directly here in this purport, only by the mercy, causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he reveals himself to the devotee. So revelation and realization are the linking process. And the process of devotional service, when you're cutting vegetables or washing the floor or changing baby, it's still a service to Krishna with Krishna consciousness. And that activity, can be seen as completely worldly, mundane from an outside observer. But for the one who is enacting the service, the person who is enacting the service, it is meditation. When you cook, and it's a meditation. And when you care for your children, it's a meditation. When you lead a kirtan, I know one devotee, every time he is asked to lead a kirtan, he turns to Radharani, even if there's no Radharani, he turns to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he prays to Radharani, because she's expert at music, and asks her to empower him to lead proper kirtan. Meditation. Prior to whatever present day circumstance in devotional practice, before anyone entered the kitchen, they would pay obeisances to their spiritual master. Prior to eating, they would pay obeisances to the spiritual master. After eating, they would pay obeisances to the spiritual master. There was never a meal taken without the full recitation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's most popular prayer, right, and the translation. And there was also never a time in my early experience where there wasn't a bucket with a cloth within the vicinity of the eating area. Everything was brahminically clean because the devotees were in the process, as Krishna states in chapter 5, text 11 of Bhagavad Gita, as it is, that the devotee, or the yogi, acts with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses only for the purpose of purification. And when one's heart is pure, the mirror of the mind is cleared of dust, then it reflects Krishna clearly. Right? The light emanating from Krishna and Krishna's personal feeling of affection for you allows you to enhance your already quite advanced affection for him by exercising your affection for every living being. Okay, thanks very much. I'm going to check my phone now and see if someone, you know, sent me a text. I hate this whole thing. Thank you very much for your extended attention. If there's any comment or question. Okay. All right. Oh, the whole bunch of stuff is to them. Okay, looking forward to some time. Okay. Someone's asking, do you have to wear a mask during the class? Okay, that's nice. Okay, that's good. No questions or comments have come in by text, as far as I know. And maybe Prime Govinda has received something. They're filtering in masks now. Okay, right. Is someone okay? Oh, okay. I'll read it. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Okay. From this short one here? Mm-hmm. Now you're saying the attitude of every woman towards a man should be seeing that the man is her child. Just before this, you mentioned how the mother lovingly cooks, cleans, and corrects her child. That is all based on love. Fascinating elaboration on this as you desire. Prabhupada never mentions, but please expand. You are humbly inviting criticism, however, nothing comes to mind. Your intellect is staggering. It probably wants to remain anonymous. Okay? So, yes, it's clear. It's clear if you look at it. The Vedas are kind of masculine oriented. They talk with those who are, aspirants for spiritual life. Historically, most women were too busy helping their husband be a good Brahmin. Yeah. And that was a husband and wife relationship. Every wife was designated to be at an advanced level of the same as the husband. So a wealthy man, wealthy wife, right? No matter where she came from or whatever, wealthy husband. And a powerful man means a kshatriya, equally powerful woman. And they find a match, even through the zodiac, they try to find a suitable match, right? And a sudra, it doesn't mean someone who sleeps all the time, it means artists, and a musician, and dancers, like that, an equal advancement. So, as I'm saying, Prabhupada didn't mention it, but it's a standard, that if it applies to the woman and the man relationship, it applies to the man and the woman relationship. And I could elucidate a little bit more on the relationship, but you know, because you have grown men who are your sons. Right? I have my own personal example. A personal example is my father's mother died when she was 99. She gave birth to my father when she was 17. To the last day, she was his baby. I mean, he was her baby. Right? He was 84 years old or something. That's it, right? Yeah, I don't know the math, maybe I got it mixed up. Yeah. He was in his 80s, she was 99 years old. 99 years old. He remains a baby. But the relationship of affection was always there, and his obedience to her was there, always. Right? So seeing every woman as your mother allows you to really protect every woman and give her the venue by which she can treat you as a son or a child, because women are really empowered. They can really lovingly correct other people. A bhaktin and a bhakta, they're much better off under a woman's tutelage. And traditionally also, gurukula, the word gurukula means family of the guru. There's a guru and the guru's wife. They're even mentioned in the sixth canto. It's pretty terrible sin, but it's listed by the Vishnu Dutas that even if one has illicit sex with the guru's wife, that's a Vedic sin, right? That's how wayward people can be, right? It happens. If the relationship between the woman and the man isn't one of parental exchange. It's only prohibition from parental, and only deviation from parental exchange between the genders is in the marriage. That's called, and I have an elucidation on that one too, it's very fun. It's called Madhurya Ras. And then Madhurya Ras, in English, it's a conjugal relationship. So I'm using linguistics to explain. Conjugal relationship relates to the word conjugation, a conjunction. Conjunction, right? So a conjunction is listed a conjunction. And, but, or, nor, yet, and if. And there's a few others that are in there. So in a conjugal relationship, it's not full submission. Is it? A polite aspect of argument is always there. A cultured and receptive challenge is due on both sides. With due respect, I mentioned this before, that some women have told me that they can't approach their husband about a certain subject. He's just not receptive. But it's how you approach and how you present. It's a conjugal relationship. You have every right to not always say yes, but that's how Rukmini does it. Rukmini agrees completely and adds. So she corrects with the addition. She agrees, and we can look at it in the exchange between when Rukmini is set to faint by what Krishna said. Later, the third exchange, after he apologizes profusely, she refuses to accept the apology, and then she goes back through everything he said, and although she agrees, she adds. But means in opposition. On the contrary, we say, no, but. That's what we say now, but there's a phrase that comes from French, but it was common in English. It's on the contrary. And there's another side to the situation. Yet, and it's in addition also, in addition, right? Or, so what you say is right, but there's also this one. There are two rights, this one or this one, right? Okay, hopefully the person who sent the text is satisfied with that, but if you're not, you can continue to write to me. My email address is misterdas, all lowercase, misterdas, mrdas@gmail.com. And again, the text number is 336-327-1998. Thank you so much for your attention. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the unassembled devotees. Hare Krishna.